It's 3:30. We have the penultimate talk of the day now. We have Marina talking about the GNOME shell, which is going to be the new look of GNOME. Marina.
Yep. So, hi. I work as a software engineer at Red Hat. And GNOME shell is this project that wants to redesign the way GNOME desktop looks and feels. And there are several developers and designers working on it at Red Hat, but we also have a lot of people from the community contributing to the project. And I'll first give you some background, some motivations that we have for the project, and then I'll talk about our design goals, and then I'll have like a pretty long demo showing all the features that GNOME Shell already has. And in the end, we'll talk about how you can install and try it out and start using it now and get involved with the development if you're interested. So when free software first started, it was not as much about the user interfaces, but more about the command line. And when GNOME was started, it was specifically for creating an intuitive user interface and making free software accessible for more users. So it has succeeded in that, but because it was growing kind of organically as a project with incremental contributions, everything is a separate module, so there is no cohesive design for things, and GNOME Shell is like really this fantastic effort to make a comprehensive overall design for how the desktop should look and feel and what its features should be. So like to give you just a couple examples, and you'll see a lot more in the demo, we're looking at how people look for and open applications and documents, how people switch between different activities, and how people can view notifications, so like incoming chat messages or updates from friends or system updates. And we're also using some new graphical technologies that make things look sleek and allow for graphical, for nice graphical features. So what has been happening is that like right now when we're using the desktop, it's very different from how it was like when it first started as a word processing tool. We have more interruptions, so we have more updates from friends coming in, more chat messages, the system telling us stuff. We have more activities, like at the same time we might have applications open for browsing the web, for talking to friends, for coding, for listening to the music. So a lot of things, and also like those applications, they might have different instances that relate to different things in our life, like they might be work-related, might be volunteer activity-related, personal finance, or just for fun. So we do a lot more task switching between those activities. So you know, sometimes we need information from one application for our current task, and sometimes we like just genuinely want to switch tasks and move on to something else. And sometimes it's just more like compulsive, like what happened in the last 5 minutes? I've been concentrating on this task. What happened in the world? You know, a lot of things going on. And I'm going to show you two screenshots that Owen Taylor here made. And it's the first one is like how we think the desktop should look, and the second one is how it actually sometimes ends up looking. So you know, this is kind of like really nice one document. One file browser, really clean and tidy, nothing extra, very peaceful. But then instead, like, you get this jungle, right? Like, there's a lot going on here because different, like, utilities and applications, they're all fighting for users' attention. They're overlapping with each other. There are, like, icons on the top of the screen that are application launchers, but they're only used, like, at some point. Like temporarily, they don't need to be there all the time. So you know, a lot going on. And the reason there is so much going on is that like over time, people, you know, there were some certain needs and you know, people decided, okay, why don't we do workspaces? Why don't we have Alt-Tab? Why don't we have an application that puts together all these contacts that we have in different systems? Why don't we add 20 more applications that are available, right? So a lot of things got added, but they got added as like individual things because you know, that's how people were contributing them. And you know, in the end, you end up with things that advanced users swear by, like workspaces or application launchers, but like new users can't find them or would find them like extremely confusing. You know, the workspaces applet, if you are a new user and you just accidentally click on it, everything vanishes. And you're just like, what happened? So it's really confusing for new users and a lot of stuff that needed to be added. So here comes GNOME Shell, and it attempts to integrate all those existing ideas and also add some new ideas in an overall comprehensive design. So like I mentioned, we have some designers working on a project, and they really like have researched the desktop design literature, and they've outlined our principles and goals like for the design of the project, and they constantly are coming out with mock-ups, and I'll show you some of the mock-ups later, that then get implemented. And one of the things that we have is that we have a design page on the wiki, and it has a pretty extensive design document, and it's a really good read if you're interested in the project or want to contribute to it. So I'll just highlight some of the key design goals, and you know, they might sound obvious, but it's good to have them there, and we have some examples for them, and there is a lot more in that document. And once I do that, we'll go to the demo, and that's going to be the fun part. So we want the desktop to be intuitive. We want it to be a consistent, kind of self-teaching experience for the new user, and we want, you know, like in a GNOME shell, we are making custom application launchers and workspaces very obvious. And we'll also have an introductory tutorial where, like an interactive tutorial that's part of the desktop that new users can try once they first start the system. We also want the desktop to be flexible, so we want it to be good for a new user, but also good for the advanced user. So we want the user to be able to grow in their usage of the desktop and be able to customize it. And we also want the desktop to be forgiven of the user's actions. So we want to have like different undo capabilities, or we want the user to be able to get back to a previous state in the minimum number of clicks. You know, if you're going through the menus and like you've clicked a couple times through the menus and then you know, you've accidentally misplaced your click, your menus vanish, you're back to like point zero, and you know, we don't want this to happen. So we want the desktop to be smart, and by that I mean that we want it to give the user all the options that the user has at any given time, and you know, also let the user customize and organize those options. But also by the default, we want the desktop to do the right thing most of the time. So for example, the user should not have to know whether like an application is running to go to the task list to switch to it, or whether it's not running, so then like go to the menus to launch it. Like instead we have a single application icon in GNOME Shell where like if you click on it, the right thing happens. The application either launches or you switch to it if it's already running. We want the desktop to help the user preserve his focus. So, you know, we don't want to distract the user. We want to de-emphasize everything else that's going on the desktop, and also kind of use notifications very judiciously, let the user hush them if, you know, it's not a good time for notifications, and also preserve them in a single message tray where the user can get back to them, so like there is no fear that, oh, if you don't follow up on this now, it's gonna vanish. And on the other hand, if the user wants to interact with the notifications, the user should be able to interact with the notification without losing the focus from their main tasks that they're doing. So like, for example, you'll see later, we have an inline chat in the notifications. And finally, we want to be delightful, so like we want the system to look nice, and we do have like really awesome like new graphical stack for that. And we want the GNOME desktop to be iconic, so we want it to be easily recognizable and be a very distinct user experience. Demo, yay. Okay, so this is GNOME Shell, and this is the kind of kind of default look of the desktop. And you might first notice that the top and bottom panels of GNOME 2 are gone. There is just one panel. And we wanted to kind of merge with the background and have, like, with the screen and have kind of the negative space, like, not be distracted, not have a lot of stuff going on. And what it does have, it has this name of the application that later can be an application menu. We don't have that in yet. There's a clock, and it has a slide-down calendar. And, you know, there are some notification icons. And then here there's a user menu. You know, you can set your IAM status. You can access your account information. You can log out and stuff like that, boring stuff. The more fun part of the panel is this activities button. So what will happen when I click on it is that we're going to go into the activities overview. So let's see. This is activities overview. And And the really cool part about it is that, like, we are dedicating the full screen to all the different ways the user can switch between different activities. So first of all, we have the previews of the works of the windows that the user has open. So now, and then it's just much easier to have those previews as a target as opposed to having the, you know, boxes in a task list. Like, boxes in a task list are not applications. You know, previews, you know, kind of look more like the applications I'm using. So, you know, the very basic thing is, like, I can switch to a different application. And because the overview is, like, so frequently accessed, you don't want it to be just, like, one button that accesses it. There is a system key. Like, if you press the system key, you can get to the overview. And also, there is a hot corner. So if you move to the top left corner, like where the activities button is, it's going to be activated. So watch out for, like a really nice effect that kind of shows, you know, something good happened. You know.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. And so this is the previews of Windows. And then on the left side, we have all the, like, applications, like users' favorite applications or running applications that also can serve as launchers, the places and devices section, and the recent documents section. And we also have, like, a very prominent search feature that's focused on by default. So if I want to get to something, like, I remember part of the name of the document or, like, the name of the application, you know, if I start typing calculator, I'll get the calculator and be able to launch it, right? And so, you know, when I clicked enter, like, it moved, like, it exited the overview and launched the calculator by default. But to be, like, to have another option, like, for staying in the overview, you can drag stuff instead. And that kind of lets you, you know, drag multiple things onto your desktop and then exit the overview. So, like, set up your work experience first. And you can also close stuff from here. So now I wanted to talk about how we treat applications. GNOME Shell is application-based rather than window-based. And what we mean by that is that we think that the user would first think of the applications they want to switch to, and only then think of a particular window in that application if that application has multiple windows. So those things here, they serve as both launchers and a ways to switch back to the application. So, like, for example, with some applications, you really just want to have a single instance of it running. You know, if I send it into XChat IRC, like, I'll sign in once. If I clicked on it again and it sent me in twice, that'd be pretty inconvenient. I don't want to be signed in with two NICs. So, you know, for applications that make sense as a single instance, that works really well. And then for applications that might have, like, multiple windows, like Firefox, those launchers, they serve, like, as a really good filter for getting to the windows, right? So if I right click on it, I get the two Firefox windows that I have open, and that's particularly convenient when you have many windows of different types open. And, you know, if you want to, and obviously if I click on it, it's gonna land me on that window, but also there is an option to create a new window and to remove from favorites. So adding and remove, like having an application as a favorite, pins it there even if it's not running. So you might notice that I have some applications that are not running, and the ones that are running are kind of indicated with this raised background. And the ones that are not running are still there because they are my favorites, right? I often use them. But I can remove gedit from favorites, and what I get is you know, this nice undo feature if I didn't really mean to do that. Or alternatively, you know, if I run the calculator, I can then add it to favorites, and even if I close it, it's gonna stick around, right? So I also wanted to show the Alt-Tab feature that we have. I'm just going to clear out the desktop so that you can see the Alt-Tab better. And Alt-Tab also groups windows by application, and you get those previews. You get you get previews by default if the application has many windows. If not, you just have to kind of click down if you really want to see the preview. Yeah, so you can switch between stuff that way. And another thing that we are making very obvious is workspaces. So we definitely don't want to like force workspaces on the user. The default is one workspace. It's, you know, works fine as one workspace, but you know, even like a moderately curious new user would be interested in this plus sign. So actually, it's just two different modes for showing workspaces that we have, and I wanted to show this one first. So this is a grid way of adding workspaces, and you can move windows between workspaces that I accidentally clicked. So, you know, you can rearrange windows between workspaces, and you can also launch launch documents on workspaces. But I just wanted to quickly get to one document here that was supposed to be in my recent documents. It's not anymore. Okay, so this is like a grid view of workspaces, and the other view of workspaces that we have is a linear view, where each workspace, like only one workspace is shown at a time, and then you can scroll between them to view them. So this is like a very recent addition to GNOME Shell. This was implemented pretty recently, the second linear view. And one question that we had is how to move windows around in a linear view. And this is, I'm gonna show you two mockups that our designers, John McCann and Jeremy Perry, did just a couple weeks ago at the GNOME Usability Hackfest in London. And then it already landed. So we're gonna go from a mockup, and it landed just this week. So this is like a really, you know, hot off the press feature. And so this is a mockup, right? So what this mockup shows is that when you have this linear view and you start dragging, a window, an edge of a workspace should appear. And what it also kind of implies that if you drag past that edge, the workspaces will scroll so that you can pick a workspace to land a window on. And then to go just even further, like this is the second mockup, and it shows that why don't we have this feature where if you drag it to the outer edge of the last workspace, like a shadow new workspace appears, and if you want to create, like if you want to add, open a new workspace and land that window's there, that's going to be your option. So this is implemented, and you know, this works, and this works. So now I have a lot of workspaces, and I don't really want to have a lot of workspaces. So if I keep clicking this minus button, it's going to move all the applications from the workspace I'm removing to the previous workspace. So, you know, I can easily get back to one workspace. Another thing I wanted to show is the notification stuff we have. And it's also kind of neat, and I wanted to show how we went from mockups to the notifications. So this is how we want a chat message notification to look, and when it has this one line, we call it a banner notification. But also when the user mouses over it, we want there to be like application-specific features for the notification. So in the particular case of the chat message notification, we want the user to be able to do an inline response to the notification with like just like without really switching away from what they're doing. Dan Winship implemented this also pretty recently. This is actually not even in the master branch. It's a patch in Bugzilla, but you know, I applied it because it's cool, and I'm gonna show you how it works. So I'm gonna sign in into Empathy, and I have like two test accounts. One is called Tiramisu Cream Pie, and another one is called Gelato Sorbetto, and those are like my two favorite desserts. So I'm gonna sign in as Gelato Sorbetto in Google so that I can have a second person to talk to. And I'm signed in as Tiramisu Cream Pie on my desktop. So here, I'm sending a message from a Gmail client within a browser to my local client on my desktop, and I'm saying hi, and it shows up. And then if I, you know, I kind of moved to it really fast, but I hope you got a glimpse of the banner mode. And right now it's a kind of bug that user icon doesn't fill in. Actually, it fills in just a little later. We might be able to see it in the end of the talk, but. Yeah, but basically I can respond in line here. And you know, we can have conversation. Awesome.
You're talking to yourself.
Uh-oh, you think that's clinical? So, and also this is not too glamorous right now, but you know, down here you have message tray where you have all the notification icons, and eventually we'll have previews off of those notification icons, ways to get back to the application related to them, you know, all the cool stuff. And it also does appear in the, this notification tray does appear in the overview, because, you know, the overview is like this one place where everything that's going on, the system tells you everything that's going on. So I wanted to show you two more types of screenshots. One is for the music player, and one is for the email client that we do have the banner modes implemented for, but not the expanded mode. So we want the applications to be able to fill in, embed the expanded mode bit. So this is a banner mode. It kind of works this way right now, because we are picking up all the notifications from the notification daemon. It'd be cool if I could have a graphic card there, and instead of a really boring next button, just have application specific controls. And also for the emails, this is how we envision you might be able to see the emails that you have missed. Okay, so this is all the mockups that I wanted to show to you, and just as an example, you know, if I send myself a test notification that will come in through the notification daemon, this is it's banner mode, so one line. But then if I mouse over it, I get to see all the options it has. So, you know, this is, you know, works. So I think this is all I had for the demo. So let me go back to the talk. Okay, so those are, I just have had the slides that I showed you, the mock-ups that I showed you as slides in here as well. So you've seen all of this. And yeah, you know, now that you've seen it, you can like real easily try it and have it on your system. It's not gonna do anything to your system, and a lot of the GNU Linux distributions have it as a package there. But we also have this script called ghbuild, and what ghbuild has, it has the six modules that are relevant for GNOME Shell, and it puts them into a directory on your system, and then you get like the latest, like when you run a ghbuild script, you get the latest from the Git version control, and you can always update it. So this is like a way to get the latest and greatest. And the instructions are in the wiki. It's real simple to use them. And you know, I have it kind of like in red here because, you know, if you try the ghbuild, you can really get into the development of GNOME Shell or like even modify it and customize it in some ways that you want. So it's kind of like an equivalent of the red pill in the Matrix. You know, if you try it, you can really get to know how deep the rabbit hole goes. So. Just to make it even more approachable, I'm going to show you our wiki page that has the building and running instructions, and they're short and sweet. And also, like when you're trying GNOME Shell, we have a tour here, which pretty much covers what I covered just now. But there is also a cheat sheet, and it's you know, it's a really cool resource. It has you know, it talks about all the features, and in the end here, it has all the key bindings that are working in GNOME Shell now. So check that out. Okay, so I have just one slide here about the technologies that we're using. So GNOME Shell is running on top of OpenGL, and we're using Clutter, which is a scene graph that uses OpenGL for rendering. And then we took Metacity, which is the traditional window manager for GNOME, and we added some like modern-enabled composite into it. I mean, some Clutter-enabled composite into it, so when we took Metacity and Clutter together, we got Modder. And so on top of Clutter, we also have a shell toolkit. So that has some custom widgets, like stuff for layout, for scroll bars, for custom buttons, so stuff like that. And the shell toolkit also has support for CSS. So the shell is seamable because you can, like, you know, the designers can really like toy around with it real easily by just modifying CSS files. And then we have G-object introspection, which is what allows us to have automatically generated bindings for GObject to be used from JavaScript. And we're using JavaScript, like we do have some code in C, but most of the user interface stuff is written in JavaScript. And it's you know, it's very simple language, and also like it allows for like really rapid development because you don't have to recompile stuff when you try stuff. So it's, you know, going back and forth in the development is really fast. And the other nice things that we have, like Colin Walters, who also works at Red Hat, he implemented this thing called Looking Glass, which is a JavaScript console. So it's kind of similar to the Firebug in Firefox or to the Lisp utilities in Emacs. So basically, I'm going to demo the Looking Glass for you. And, you know, that might seem like a secret thing, but it's front and center in the wiki if you go to the development page or even to the cheat sheet. So this is like a console that lets you evaluate JavaScript, like just arbitrary JavaScript commands, but it also has a way of getting to the GNOME Shell objects and manipulating them. So for example, I have this command saved here that takes all the windows. So we're doing global, which is like this way to get to the GNOME Shell stuff. Get windows, and for each window, we're applying this animation, and we're using this framework called Tweener for the animation stuff. And over a time, I guess it's like 3 seconds probably, we're going to transition all the windows to a different scale. So the example I'm going to use here is 0.3. So, you know, cool stuff happens. And there is, I mean, there is a lot that you can do with this, right? There is, I can get one of the windows and I can find out what its scale is, right? So it tells me like 0.3, yeah, because I just made it so. And there are examples on the wiki page about the looking glass, about all the cool stuff you can do with it. I want my windows back, normal size. No Alice in Wonderland anymore. Okay. So other cool stuff that we have in terms of technology is we have an extension system that lets you drop like arbitrary JavaScript into the shell as an extension. And we also have a built-in screencast recording tool that, you know, provides for nice screencasts, which we obviously want to make a lot of having the GNOME shell, right? If that's so exciting, you want to contribute to GNOME shell, there are definitely ways to do so. And because there are so many things that GNOME shell is comprised of, like it's always very easy to find like some simple beginner project to start with, and just sign in onto IRC GNOME shell channel, and I'll have the a link in the end, but also like it's all in a wiki, obviously. And just sign in onto IRC, start hanging out there, see what the cool project might be, browse the Bugzilla, test GNOME shell, file bugs in the Bugzilla, and then again, just to say the obvious, we have a lot of resources in the wiki. There is a development page that discusses the code structure of the project and talks about how you can get started with the development. There is a design page that talks a lot about the design. There is a pretty extensive design document. There is a translation page that talks about how you can create or update the translation for your language for GNOME shell and testing. Yeah, like when you test GNOME shell, file bugs and fix them. Right. So we are planning to have GNOME shell be the default look of GNOME 3, which is going to be released in October this year. And it's pretty stable now. It's fun to use. A lot of people use it as their default desktop. But we obviously still have a lot to do, and we're also planning to do user testing. Maureen Duffy recently blogged about our user testing plans. And this is the last slide. This is our wiki. It has everything. And like it has a link to the mailing list, to the Bugzilla, and you know all those resources that you might need to like find out more about GNOME shell. But like the two really cool ways to keep in touch is the IRC, you know, just hang out there, see what happens. And if you don't feel like if you don't want to be contributing to GNOME shell, but just want to be using it and following the project, we have updates about all the cool stuff that's going in on Identica and Twitter. So that's it. Go try it.
Hi. For the JavaScript that you're using for transitions and stuff, did you create a framework for that, or is it just straight up JavaScript, or are you using pre-made frameworks?
Oh, so Clutter is a framework that generates a scene graph where you have all the objects called actors in a scene graph. And Clutter has its own animation framework, but right now we're using the animation framework called Tweener.
Okay. And are you using scalable vector graphics anywhere?
I'm not sure about that.
SVG graphics?
I don't think we're, are we?
Okay.
Oh, I guess you can use them as icons, yeah.
Is there a way to snapshot the state of what you're working on and then replay it? Like if you have multiple applications on different workspaces at different sizes, and you're working on something. Mm-hmm.
So like save an activity.
Save it and get it back later on.
Yeah, we were talking about this, and like at the user hackfest, user interface hackfest that we had in October 2008, where like some of those ideas got generated, we talked a lot about saving activities, but we don't have that implemented in any way right now. It's not planned as the you know, a critical feature. It's not.
Was there a reason that idea was sort of depreciated, like feasibility or enthusiasm?
I don't know. Maybe just because people didn't think it was viable enough. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Any more questions? Right. So we talked to them a lot, and our designers talked to them. And in fact, like when they were at the usability hackfest in London just a couple of weeks ago, that was held in the Ubuntu office. But I guess with Ayatana and the stuff that Ubuntu is working on, they're more focusing on the GNOME 2 features. But we definitely talked to them, and they know what we're up to, and we know what they're up to. I'm pretty sure there is, yeah. But I think I mentioned that GH build is way cooler.
Yeah. I realize it's not your fault, but since you're talking to Ubuntu, do you have anything to say about Mono?
Do I have to say anything about Mono? No, we're not using it. No, we're not using it, not related to this project, no.
Okay, I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.